You've seen it.
Yes.
You've eaten it.
You've eaten it.
It's smart food.
You love it.
Everybody likes smart food.
Pink lemonade stand.
Welcome to the Pink Lemonade Stand, where we are serving up smiles.
When life gets sour, we say pucker up and
squeeze the day.
Hello and welcome.
Hi, everyone. How are you doing? Heidi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. And I'll tell you why. Something really fun happened this week. The Friends reunion. What were we? We were like in high school when that show started.
We missed our friends so badly.
It was so fun to see them reunited and still looking fabulous.
Okay. I cried. I'm sure you did too. But I cried every time one of them walked into the soundstage. Every time.
I did too. I did too. And to like see them like looking at the set.
Yes.
And all the memories. I just thought the show was so well done. I loved how they cut in and out of reading the script to then actually showing the clips of the script. Oh, like of them doing it. Wasn't it so cute?
It was so cute. And they're just all so adorable. And they just seemed like they're all such nice people back then and today. They just seem so nice. Like, I want to be friends with them, all of them.
I know. I love them. Okay. Now, I looked this up afterwards. There are 10 seasons of this show. It's the most streamed and watched show even years afterwards. So you're thinking, they're set for life. They are getting residuals out the wazoo. And so I Googled it, and every cast member is still making $20 million a year from Friends.
Whoa.
From being Friends. They don't have to do anything the rest of their lives.
No, they don't. And yet they still got paid so much money to film that reunion.
Oh, I think it was like $1.5 million each.
No, it was $2.5 million each.
Oh my gosh,
I know.
I mean, isn't that so crazy?
They got paid what they earned that check, but still, it's a lot.
They are beloved. Yes. And this was so interesting is because they mentioned in the reunion how they're all really an ensemble. They're all stars and we're following all of their journeys. So nobody should get paid more than the other, right? Mm-hmm. But apparently, second season came around and they're renegotiating and somebody or one or two got offered something more than the others. Well, it all came out. They were like, I'm sorry, no, we're all getting the same. So then they just renegotiated their contracts the same after that, like every year. And it should be, right?
Right, right. I think it was Ross and Rachel that were making more.
Oh, because they were like the main squeezes.
The main squeezes,
okay,
yes.
Speaking of Ross and Rachel, I gotta tell you, and I know what you're gonna say too, because this was the biggest unheard news of all time when James Corden said, were there any behind the scenes romances? How could this not happen? And then when Jennifer, she was like, Schwimmer, wanna tell him? I just died. I love that they just admitted that they did have crushes on each other. Like, that was such fun news to hear
for us,
the Ross and Rachel behind the scenes. What are your thoughts on this?
Obviously, it's so exciting. And then watching it back when they were playing the scenes of them, like their romance and them kissing for the first time and everything, I was like, yeah. And then I just thought, oh God, I don't know if I believe that they never, ever
hooked up.
They're so cute.
They're so cute. But here's the thing.
It just has to live in our minds forever that they didn't. But now here's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, say it.
Is that they get together now.
I want
a couple up now.
The two of them need to get together right now. I'm here for it.
Yeah, he's her lobster in real life.
He's her lobster.
See? He's her lobster.
Bring in the Ross and Rachel dreams. And you know what? Yeah. It's following their on-screen story.
It totally is.
We need
it. Art imitates life. Let's get on it, okay?
Let's do it. And so after I was done watching the special, I immediately turned on Friends Season 1.
Same.
Well, we want to tell all of you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. If you have a favorite podcast out there, the best way that you can support the shows that you love is to subscribe.
Yes, friends, we want to remind you to please share our podcast with your friends and review and star and download. It makes such a huge difference for us. And so we love to bring you sweetness each and every week. So please remember to RRS.
Rate, review, and subscribe.
Now it's time for the sweetest thing, our good news story segment. So what do you have for us today, Heidi?
We have our very first submission for our sweetest thing good news story. Today's sweetest thing was submitted by Kat Hennessy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Teacher gives student his shoes at graduation after teen was nearly banned for wearing the wrong ones. I love this story so much. It's like a sour and a sweet all in one.
Oh, we love that.
This was reported by the Washington Post. Devarius Peters was almost barred from his high school ceremony on May 19th for wearing sneakers instead of school's mandated dress shoes. I'm like already rolling my eyes here.
Yeah.
The school's graduation dress code stipulates that male students must wear dark dress shoes to the ceremony and no athletic shoes were allowed, according to the Post. So the student said that he was in shock and he felt humiliated and he wanted to just walk across the stage and get his diploma that he worked so hard for. So outside of the convention center, he spotted a familiar friendly face, John Butler, who was an educator at the high school and a very popular staff member among the students. Peter approached Butler and asked him for help. Butler said, "This was a no-brainer. This was the most important moment of his life up to that point, and he wasn't going to let him miss it for anything." So the shoes were two sizes too big, and the teacher couldn't trade him because he couldn't fit in his shoes because they were too small. So the teacher sat in the audience in his socks, and the student wobbled in the oversized loafers across the stage.
Oh, my God.
The parents saw their son walking across the stage and were very perplexed. They were upset with the school for having a policy in which could keep someone from this very important moment. Well, this teacher's selfless act was hardly surprising to the student. He said, "Mr. Butler is just that type of person," he told the Post. "At school, if you're having a bad day, he'll be there. He'll be the one to take you out of class, walk you around the school, and have a chat with you." So I'm thinking to myself, as you are and probably everyone listening, what the heck, school? Like, what's with this archaic policy? This is crazy. So Stevie Crevetto, the director of public information for Hahnville High School, reportedly said, "Administrators are reviewing the incident." Quote, "As with any policy that we have in place, anytime an opportunity is presented to us to review and to make improvements, we absolutely will follow up with that," she told the Post. So I hope they do follow up with that. And
I certainly hope they do.
And if they don't, we will.
I'm going to follow up with this. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. They better watch out. But Peter's family did say, "Our young Black men need good role models and mentors like Mr. Butler." And I couldn't agree more. I think that was a fantastic end to a crazy situation. Isn't that wild?
That is wild and just so selfless and helpful. That's just, again, why we love our teachers so much.
Yes.
They are superheroes, the best humans out there.
Teachers for the win.
Thank you to Kat Hennessy for sending that good news story to us to share. And we want to remind you, if you have any good news stories to share with us, please send them our way.
Please email us at theplspodcast@gmail.com and send us your sweetest things.
And we want to remind you about our other good news story about the tiny home village built in Los Angeles by the foundation Hope of the Valley. They are making a huge effort in the fight against homelessness.
We started a GoFundMe account to raise $3,000, which is just enough to sponsor a tiny home for somebody. So we have raised just over $1,800. We are so close to reaching our goal. So please help us get to the finish line. Go make a donation. Help fight against homelessness. The link is in our episode notes.
Okay, it's time that we do a little hydration chat. Heidi, how's your hydration today?
Nicole, I am so glad you asked that. I am crushing a gallon of water today with my hydro jug.
Woohoo!
How about you?
Well, just let me tell you, I am fully at Hydration Station right now with my Hydro Jug as well.
Yes.
We are so obsessed with Hydro Jug, and here's why. It's humongous, so you don't have to refill time and time again. It's dishwasher safe. You are helping save the earth by using a reusable bottle.
It also comes with really cute mix and match sleeves, and you can pair them with different colors of bottles.
Yes.
We love ours. I love mine so much. The sleeve has a strap and little pockets for your phone or for your keys.
It's the new purse.
I'm putting all my things in there.
Yep.
But mainly by keeping the bottle with us during the day, it reminds us to drink water.
Yes, and that is the hardest thing to remember to do. So we want that hydrated and glowing feeling. We all want to improve our hydration, and it's easy with Hydro Jug. Head over to thehydrojug.com and use our code PLS to get 10% off your Hydro Jug today.
That's PLS to get 10% off your very own Hydro Jug at thehydrojug.com. Go do it. It's easy peasy.
Lemon squeezy.
We have talked so much about friends today, so we want to introduce you to some friends of ours. Now, without further ado, it's time for
The Main Squeeze.
The Side Hustle is a comedy podcast hosted by Chelsea Phillips Reed and Sarah Lowe that explores the weird and wacky, wonderful jobs you have to work while trying to get the jobs you want. You know, showbiz jobs. Chelsea and Sarah chat with artists, actors, writers, and musicians about their most hilarious side hustles.
You may also know Chelsea descending from the ceiling, riding a unicorn, as the MC of Channing Tatum's Magic Mike Live in Las Vegas, and Sarah can be seen in the hit Las Vegas production of the Atomic Saloon Show, and recently as assistant choreographer on the Emmy Award-winning show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, because the hustle is real. Please welcome to the stand Chelsea and Sarah.
6, 7, 8, side hustle. When you have a job, but you need another job. It's
oh my gosh, you guys. I got goosebumps from that intro, I gotta tell you.
I love hearing about ourselves. That, you guys, we are so, so excited. This has been written on our calendars for weeks, and I am so excited that we are finally here.
Yes. Yay! We're so happy you ladies are here joining us.
What? It's a real treat.
Yes,
it's,
we could
it's,
not wait.
It's a real sweet, sweet lemonade.
I wish we had some lemonade. We need to start that. We need to start that as a tradition. We just drink it while we pod.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, in theory would be like a great idea to, like, oh, I'm going to send them a kit that's like a lemonade kit beforehand to do. But then, like, even just sending people thank you cards afterwards is like, oh, what a to-do.
I have to write this with my hands.
I know. When we're rich and have assistants, that's first thing on our list. Lemonade kit.
That is
totally with professional, like, microphone setups for every person.
Yes.
That is my dream.
Go.
I told my husband that my ultimate, like, career goal is just to be, like, rich enough to have, like, Mrs. Potts, like, live in our house. Like, I just want a kindly old woman to be like, spot of tea, dear. And I'll be like, thanks. It's been a hard day. And then she's like, I've got a warm flag for you.
And I'm like, oh, thank you.
Oh, crumpets.
That's all I want. But then I'd be mad at Mrs. Potts because I'd be like, why? I have put on 15 pounds because all she does is serve me crumpets.
Oh, I would make sure she would give me, like, fruit.
Oh, that's
like, I
guess I could tell her what
it's
to
do. It's hard
to
be rich.
I know. Oh, ladies, we are so happy to have you here because we had the honor of being guests on your podcast just last month. And we had the best time and we laughed so hard and we just could not wait to get you here. And just
that was one of our favorite podcasts.
We literally talked about it for days afterwards because, you know, we're still like in the end of like quarantine pandemic. So just like seeing friends that we haven't seen in a long time, like it made me giddy. Like I felt high.
It was so and we're such fans of your podcast. So it was so fun to just like be talking and being silly and feel like we were in the same room, even though we weren't.
Yeah.
One of the things I love about your podcast is that it's like you guys think of it before I can say it. So if it's like there's always a solid edit on like a Groundhog's Day reference or like a song reference or like you have it coming in like before I can even get it in my head. It is so smart and funny. You guys are real quick.
Shucks, folks. I'm speechless. Thank you for that compliment.
Thank you. We adore a good sound effect.
We have to put in the sound effects because we're still like trying to keep up with people like Comedy Chops like you. We're yeah. trying to learn.
Oh, and we're just trying to learn from you. We like to use Foley for our sound effects.
Like episode one, I discovered that I love making noises. And I was like, Sarah, this is a real conversation. Should I become like a Foley artist, like a sound artist of like, see that high heels?
That was good. Yeah.
There's careers out of that. Okay, so yeah, in our jingle, the Pink Lemonade Stand jingle at the end when it says Pink Lemonade Stand, that's me.
Oh, that was so good. Can I have your autograph?
So we make sound effects
Foley.
Too.
Yes.
We make our own Foley.
I went on a tour of the Warner Brothers lot, and there's a whole little exhibit that you can go into that is the Foley sound effect experience. And do you know what the sound of like flesh, like eating flesh is?
I want to say yes to this, but I'm going to have you go ahead and
say I would guess ham. But also I'm just disturbed that there's enough movies that are like, okay, we need some more flesh eating. Okay.
Ham? Ham's a good one.
It's actually a fried chicken. It's like eating fried chicken. That's like flesh. And then,
oh my gosh.
And then what do you think? Am I doing a quiz?
I love this.
I like it too, because I'm a Foley artist.
What do you think is breaking a bone?
Oh. Oh my gosh.
A carrot. I feel like I've is it like bubble? Like bubble wrap?
Ooh, that's a good guess. Ooh, it's a celery stalk snap.
You were closest.
I was so close. I know my crudité because I was like, wait a second. I know my crunches.
You were so close with the carrot.
You are onto something. You're a Foley artist in the making.
Well, I also feel like I possess weird trivia knowledge. Like I dropped out of college to work at Dollywood. I have like no education. I can't multiply. But like if it comes to like weird like trivia that no one wants to know, I'm like, I know that. And I read somewhere a long time ago that, and this is so disgusting, you are going to think about this every day of the rest of your life. The strength it takes to bite into a baby carrot is the same strength that you need to have to bite off a finger. I know. I'm sorry.
It's not a lot of strength.
It's not a baby carrot. So you could like bite off your finger anytime, but you won't do that because that would be terrible.
That really shows the strength of our teeth.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Holy crap.
That's a lot of info to take in.
You know, sorry. We were once having a discussion about Lorena Bobbitt and the whole like chopping of the peen.
Yeah.
And we just so happened to be at an Irish pub where we had some like hot dogs available, and we thought, okay, how it doesn't Irish seem like it should be possible to just completely chop.
We had a whole thing about this.
Yeah, like could we, it like what, how much force would that take? You would think it takes like so much force to get through the skin. So we were like, oh my god, we actually have a perfect test subject here. We picked up a hot dog, took a butter knife, like not even a, not even
did
like
she
a
use a butter knife?
Knife,
not even a sharp knife, just
not
a
even
butter
a
knife.
Sharp knife, a butter knife, and just gave it a, and it went flying,
flew off,
completely severed easily.
Yep.
Well, I mean, there
so
you go.
Sometimes you never know how never much know. Or how little force it takes for dismemberment.
This yeah. and this just, I just want to tell this story really quick because it just kind of is similar where like my mom had been feeding my brother who was a baby in diapers a little Vienna sausages as like you know, because I guess we lived out of cans. I don't know. And then she went to change his diaper. She opened it and one of the tiny Vienna sausages fell out. She had a full panic that his penis had fallen out. She picked it up on the floor and shoved it back and closed the diaper and was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
And then was like, wait, that couldn't have been his penis. it can't just fall off, can it? And like before she opened the diaper, called her friend and was like, penises don't fall off, do they?
Oh my gosh. I love how she just put it back in the diaper, as in denial. Like if I put it back in, maybe it'll reattach.
Close up the diaper.
It never happened. Yeah.
Quite the visual.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, we've given you a lot to, we've given you a lot to think about at home right now.
Straight out the gate.
Yeah. Drive.
Like we're starting on a high or a low.
We came in like a wrecking ball.
On your D.
Oh. All right. Well, now that we've covered all of the very important stuff, we've gotten it all out of the way. Now, we would just really love to hear about your podcast, The Side Hustle. Of course, we adore it. We are faithful subscribers and listeners. But for everybody out there that is listening that is not familiar with The Side Hustle, can you just tell us a little bit about what it is and how you came up with that idea?
Of course we can.
Absolutely.
So,
This is our class. This is actually how we podcast. Like, we actually record for 2 hours because 1 hour is going, you want to go?
Is it you? Okay.
No? Okay.
This is the part we didn't rehearse.
I'll start.
You start.
So, Sarah and I have been friends for a long, long time. But even before we met and fell in love, we were performers. We still are performers. But we both have been working since we were little kids. Like, we both have been in this industry since we were little. And so, through the years, then we became friends. We were talking in Sarah's kitchen one day about no matter who you are, whether you've been on a TV show or like on Broadway or like all these like kind of like watermarks of like success, like you are successful. You also at some point have also had to work at a kid's birthday party wearing a costume or had a name tag or had to do the YMCA at like a convention but with different letters that weren't YMCA.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And also like maybe a deep sense of shame.
Yeah, like a personal shame, like a whole feeling of like, how did I get here?
What went wrong?
Why?
Was it my childhood? Was it the Vienna sausages?
So we wanted to really celebrate that because success is never a destination. You never like achieve something and you're like, well, I've got Mrs. Potts and I don't have to work again. You know, we're always trying to get more jobs, more work. And so we really wanted to celebrate that and talk to each other and our friends.
Yeah. And my husband said the other day, it's almost like required listening for anyone who's trying to make it in the industry so that you just know that like there's no, you know, like even today we still do side hustles to keep because we love what we do. So in order for us to continue to do what we do, we have to make money doing other things.
Yeah. Absolutely. So this is just the podcast is like a celebration of that. And it just, we hope it's just like a fun escape.
Yeah.
Oh, we are such huge fans. I love that explanation. And I love what you said about success isn't a destination. I love that reminder. It's like we have done so many things over the years, even just Nicole and I combined, and to discuss it and have it be this like celebration, it's so much fun. And we shared our own crazy wacky side hustles with you. It was the best time. And since we did all the sharing last time, we need to turn the tables over and we need to hear from you about what were your favorite side hustles between the two of you. We want to hear your story. So you guys can decide who's going to go first. I'm sure it will take 10 minutes. We'll wait for you.
It will.
We'll edit it out.
I'm polite. You go first.
I'm going to start with an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah.
And if you do already listen to the side hustle, thank you so much, my little hustlers.
We appreciate you, hustlers.
But so I have told this story before, but it's kind of like the story that launched 1,000 ships.
Yes,
because
this
was the story that I told Sarah in her kitchen that we were like, we got to talk about this. Yeah. So imagine this. Maybe 6 years ago, I was performing in a show on the Strip. So like, great, that's wonderful. You have a job. And but I still was doing gigs all the time because my husband was in school. We needed to make money, all those things. So I was offered a job for a kid's birthday party. And not just any kid, a child of a man that owns a casino.
We're not going to say his name.
So a rich man. A rich, he has Mrs. Potts.
Yeah. So we will not tell you the name of the man, but the casino he owns rhymes with Pleasure Flyland. So their daughter was having a birthday and they wanted the theme to be Wizard of Oz. And I was like, amazing. Turns out this child is one.
I'm here to tell you as a parent of a seven-year-old that their first birthday is nothing. Yeah. It is nothing and you spend too much money and why?
Yeah, you are
need a party.
You can't, you don't even know how to chew. Yeah.
No.
You're still lucky putting if they Vienna sausages in your
diaper. You're stuffing Vienna sausage back in a diaper, okay? A one-year-old does not need a party.
So we get to, like, the estate. There's this huge, like, guard gate you have to drive in. And so I was playing Dorothy.
Lead.
Yeah, I was the lead. I was Dorothy. And I was, like, fully giving you, like, a Judy Garland as Dorothy. But then there's also, like, other dancers were hired to be, like, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, the Cowardly Lion. I think there was a witch. But then they determined the witch was too scary. So she was, like, banished to, like, the tennis court. They were like, just go over there. Get away from the kids.
And here's a brown outfit. Pretend you're a tree. Go. Yeah.
But then I get to the event, and the woman I'm working for got it wrong. And brought me a sexy Dorothy.
No.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm talking a Halloween Leg Avenue tiny tutu corset Dorothy.
Like the wink of a cheek.
Straight from the Halloween warehouse.
Like a thigh high, white thigh high with a bow that I wore with my red slippers.
No.
Like a garter belt.
This is straight.
Yes.
Dorothy
like a low
of the night.
Cut, giving you some cleave. We're not in Kansas anymore.
Bustier gingham.
Yes. And then here's the worst part. It's all like baby children, like tiny, like toddlers. She didn't bring me any like briefs, like spankies or whatever. So then I'm wearing like my day wear thong. Just like my sensible life
sensible
string that I wear.
You know, for no lines.
So then my real actual boo-hiney is just out at the party. But then I'm also like teacher's pet, like Lisa Simpson. I just always want to do a good job. I just always want people to be happy. So I'm like so committed. And I'm like, I am Dorothy. I'm going to make sure this party is wonderful. They are paying me $300. So the whole party, I had to keep my legs
she's
together.
Up. She's up, people. She's moving.
Oh, God, I can't show you. But I kind of like velociraptor like that.
She's scooting. She's got one foot in front of the other. She's closed
like,
legs.
Yeah, cross your legs like this, then walk. And that's what I did the whole party because I didn't want to ruin it with my vagina.
Didn't want to have a lip slip.
Yeah, or like I didn't want kids to be like, I see your butt.
Yeah.
So,
which they wouldn't. They wouldn't say that
it
because
was Vegas, after all. This one-year-old needs to learn where they're growing up.
They're
yeah,
like,
no.
I just came out of it.
Yeah, I'm sure that baby was also like, look at those boobies. I'm hungry.
Nom, nom.
Nummy, nummy. But the story gets better because, like, we get dressed. I realize my shame that I'm sexy Dorothy. All these things are happening. And then, like, the party planner comes up to me and is like, hey, quick question. Are you afraid of horses?
Which is never a question you want to answer.
And I was like,
but you're a theater person, so what do you say?
No.
No, I'm not afraid of horses.
No, of course.
Yes, I will
it.
Ride one. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, horses? No. Yeah, that sounds great. And they're like, they really want you to arrive in a carriage drawn by two horses, but no, we're not gonna have someone drive the horses. Like, you are holding the reins, like you are in charge. The horses like know what to do, but the horses are gonna like gallop up to the event. Everyone's gathered outside. But then we also want you to hold a giant bouquet of yellow balloons. They never have seen the movie. Cause I was like, that's not in it. It's not even in Return to Oz, that creepy movie.
Oh, God. It's like a cross between Cinderella and Up.
Yes.
Like,
well, and like the casino owner, this is like his fourth marriage, his ninth kid. He was like, horses, balloons, yes, leave me alone.
More money. Who will leave me alone? How much do I have to pay?
Oh, I forgot this part of the story. I just am telling all the secrets. Also, the mom of the baby is a former Miss Universe.
Oh,
so Miss Universe somehow thought,
oh my gosh,
because I'm Dorothy, that means like I'm in charge of the party and like I know. So she'd be like, and she's also from like Narnia. She's like from a strange land. I don't know where.
That's how you become Miss Universe.
So she's like, Dorothy, where should the children go? So then I just have to like improvise it, and like there was like different stations, like they had different like crafts, and then they had food, and like none of the parents like wanted to do it.
They're all getting wasted in the corner.
This is a whole that you weren't hired to be the event planner. Like you suddenly got shifted into another role in addition.
And then like Miss Universe would not stop. She's like, Dulcie, I think the children want to do something else now. And I'd be like, oh crap, okay. And so, but I stayed in character. I did the whole thing. The whole day, like the finale was, there was a marionette man
who I like to think just lived on the premises.
Yeah, yeah, they just, they're like a standby. Like, quick, bring me my marionette.
Anything creepier.
No.
He just comes out of the,
oh, hello, kid. I've been here for 5,000 years. These marionettes are made from real children.
Been at every single one of that man's one-year-old party.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It started in like 1972. So then the end of the party was we all go to the racquetball courts and he does a marionette show. And then at one point he's like, Dorothy, get over here. Let's give the dog a bone. And I'm like, oh, God. So then he had like a marionette of a dog that he had to feed a bone to it. But then he's like, bend down, Dorothy. And I'm just like, I can't do it.
Which I think he was trying to give you his bone.
He was trying to see my Toto.
Yeah.
And that is my side.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's God. Like, honestly, like having to be put on the spot to execute kids' games sounds like my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, and just picturing you in the outfit while having to manage that, being uncomfortable and that on top of it, I would have combusted. I would have been like, I'm out of here.
Oh my God.
I don't know. You did it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What an epic story.
Sarah, tell us yours.
Gosh,
we're
thinking during
here.
That Dorothy story of like, what is the equivalent? Do I have a good comedic? But one of the ones, which I have said on ours before, but is one of my favorites, was like this event I had to do here in Las Vegas. And luckily I was with some friends doing it. And Nicole, I don't think you were on this one. We were doing an event for DBD, Destination by Design, and it was at the Bellagio, but we had to be transported there because we had to get into costume off-site. And the costume was, we were like black and white movie, like from movies, but like almost like newsies. Like our costumes were like like as if we were newsies, but all black and white because we were still in black.
Papers.
Yeah, and the
open the gate.
And but they painted X's on our mouths because we weren't allowed to talk. So we were gonna be. So we had flair. We had buttons that said like yes, no, this way, maybe. Ask me later or something. I don't know. It was just like weird stuff. And we were just supposed to be like, we were greeting people as they were coming in. They were going on, it was some sort of convention, but the first night of the convention is always some kind of party. And it's usually like a curated party. And so this is what it was. It was like, they were coming into this room. They were going to get their name tags and have a cocktail or whatever. From that, they were getting on a bus and they were going to go someplace. And so all we were in charge of was making sure that they got their name tags, got a cocktail. And then it was also our job to like lead them towards the lineup for the bus. And, you know, we were all stationed in different places. Like some of us were the ones giving the name tags. Some of us were greeters at the door and whatever. So people would like, of course, come up and start talking to you and asking you questions, but you weren't allowed to answer. So you had to just like point to your button. So it'd be like, is this where I get our name tags? And I would just like point to yes. And they'd be like, okay, well, is it in alphabetical order? And then just have to be like, point to no. And they'd be like, well,
oh my God.
So what? So can you just talk to me? Can you just talk to me? Like, and I would be like, point to no again. And then at one point somebody was like, for real though, can you just help me out? Like they were just really trying to level with me. And of course, at that point you just want to be like, look, man, I'm just trying to make a couple $100, okay? Can you just like,
please just look at my flare. Okay?
Just look, I'm pointing to the flare, bro.
Slide me a 20, I'll meet you in the bathroom.
Just that quiet desperation of like, please just help me. And you're like, maybe.
Over here.
And then, also a secret fear that it could be an undercover boss from DBD seeing if you're willing to break.
Which
totally.
So it's like, it's getting increasingly frustrating for the people there. And we're just like trying to, you know, point them in the right direction. Like,
they're getting so mad. Everybody's getting so mad.
And like also not smile with my teeth, right? So like anytime I smile, I'm just like, because I have this big X over my mouth that's been painted. So now, you know, and then it's always like the person who's in charge, like going up to one person that's just like, okay, we're going to start moving them to the bus. And then you have to be like, just nodding and then like making eye contact with the other, you know, actors with X's on their mouths. And we're like, and so then we're like, you know, showing them, like pointing them the way and like standing and then like escorting them down the escalator. And then there's this one woman who she's just like so happy to be there, but doesn't seem to have any friends and definitely doesn't speak English, which didn't matter to us because we're not speaking, but we're right. Like, so we're pointing and we finally get everybody down. And I'd seen her a couple times and she had definitely tried to like talk to me or ask me questions. She had broken English, but, so we get down and we're like, okay, phew, we've got everybody. And we're kind of laughing and high-fiving. I can't believe we got through it. And our friend Greg was like, wait a minute, that woman who's standing in that line to get on that bus, she's not supposed to be there. She's supposed to be on our line for this bus. And I was like, what? He was like, look at her. She was in our party. And I was like, I don't know. I stopped paying attention. He was like, no, we have to make sure that. So he goes up and he starts talking to her. He's like, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but are you with the blank and blank convention? And she's just kind of like shaking her head and looking at him. And then he's like, shit, I really think she's about to like, all of a sudden, we're going to like send her on a bus. That's like
to the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. Like, I don't know where it's going that we need to get. So it was like this mad dash of like
Hoover
running up the stairs into the Bellagio by myself in this Newsies costume with my face painted white and an X on my mouth and just like running around looking for our head, you know, our point person, and just trying to be like, we need help. We think we have a stray. Someone's gone astray.
They've gone rogue.
And people are just looking at me like, what is, I mean, it's Vegas, so they kind of like shrug it off. But at the same time, it was just like this weird sense of like, but eventually we did. And then that bus left, the bus that she was supposed to be on. So then she's by herself and we have to get a car to get her to meet the bus where it's going. It was a whole thing. But we got her there safely.
Oh my God.
It was okay. It all worked out.
She probably told
you had to break your silence.
That story for years. She was like, I went to the weirdest party.
Right.
They took me on a car ride.
Well, that's all that I was thinking too, was like just imagining her, like how that story could have gone if Greg hadn't seen her standing in the wrong line.
Right?
And my sense of just like nonchalance of being like, I don't think that person was with our party. She would know better. And Greg was like, she does not speak English. We need to help her.
Oh my gosh. Right. Okay, wait. So what was the point of the silenced people? Yeah. Like, what was the point of your characters?
I'm sure there was a point.
Were you guys like silent movie? Like,
I think the theme was like silent movie. So yeah, I mean, that was just one that popped into my head when she was saying that. But there's just we're
they
rich.
Never end.
We're lousy with side hustles.
Well, thank God you have a weekly podcast because you have endless and endless amounts of side hustles to recall and tell the tale.
Ladies, well, you are so, so, so funny. And I want to encourage our listeners, please go over and listen to all of their episodes. But now we're going to transition a little bit over to the Pink Lemonade Stand topics. Mm. And we are so excited to hear from you both. Here at the Pink Lemonade Stand, we love a good comedy, but we also love to talk about the hard things and the challenges that life brings us. So would you ladies mind sharing, and you can do this separately or together, something that was challenging for both of you in your lives and how you got through it and how it really, you know, affected you as a person?
Yeah. Take it away.
Oh, do you want me to go first?
You had one and I wanted to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But you didn't share it with me, so I'm curious.
Oh, yeah. I kept it a secret?
You did.
I said, oh, yeah, I think I have one. Okay.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
No, I feel very dramatic telling the story. It's like, it is, well, and your podcast covers really wonderful topics that are important to talk about. And that's why I love your podcast, because I think
for me, it's easy just to be like, no, everything's great. But it's not.
It's not always great.
So when Sarah said that you guys were going to ask this question, I had a quick moment to think about it. And I was just thinking about this the other day because the app Time Hop always like reminds me of what I was doing. And so this actually happened 6 years ago. So I, like I said, I had been performing in a show on the Strip and I got replaced. And it was the first time in my career that that happened. And it was a surprise. And it was so devastating because I talked to you guys a little earlier, that I'm so like textbook, like all the things that I am. Like I'm a middle child. I like to make people happy. Like I'm such like a pleaser, and I hate like conflict. I hate, you know, anyone to be unhappy with me. Like I'm a teacher's pet. Like I gagged myself giving myself a COVID test because I just wanted to do it right. And then I like asked the woman giving it to me, I was like, do a lot of people do that to themselves? And she was like, no, no one does that. Like why? But in my mind, I wanted to do it right and be like, I'm going to scrape so good. I'm going to make sure there's no COVID in there. And then I was like, eh. And she was like, why? Anyway, so that's just like a backstory. I'm just setting the scene. So it came out of left field that this job that I had loved and I had really worked hard, you know, you never want to say no. I felt like I was always available. I worked like 28 days in a row one time because they didn't have a swing. And I was like, that's okay. I'll just keep working. Like, I don't need a day off. And also it also felt very like, this is what I've been working for. I've been working to get in a show on the Strip and now I have it. And then it all came crashing down. Like it all stopped. And I should say, I wasn't fired, but they like reduced my schedule to like 2 days or 3 days a week. It wasn't something that was not like sustainable as a job. And it was devastating. And I felt all those feelings that you feel, like it felt like grief. And I felt embarrassed. And I thought, how could I tell my parents? How could I felt so ashamed. I felt so worried about like what friends would think and what everyone would think. And it just was so devastating. And it still like, I mean, I can remember what that felt like of loss of all those things. The silver lining of all of that is I made the decision at that point to not accept the contract that they gave me, which was like 2 days a week. I said, no, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm going to get another job. I went back to cocktail waitressing for like 3 weeks. And I was like, oh man, this is really awful. I forgot how awful this is. And then I auditioned for another show, 50 Shades, the parody that was being produced by Base Entertainment. I ended up getting that job, working that job, but I was able to build a relationship with Base. And then fast forward like 4 years later, Magic Mike Live was having auditions. And I remember I submitted and like didn't hear anything. And I was like, oh shit. And then I realized that Base was one of the like the administrators. Like they weren't a producer, but they were like helping out. So I emailed Base and Base actually got me my audition. And I do this whole like full circle moment of realizing like if I had not experienced that enormous loss of being replaced, of losing my job, of feeling, you know, so rejected and so hurt, then I would never have experienced this newfound like kind of joy that I then got this job that like has been so meaningful to me. And it has also in turn been such a rewarding experience because in case you guys were wondering, Channing Tatum is the best boss in the whole world. And so now if I hadn't experienced that bad, awful experience, I wouldn't have had this wonderful one. And like, this is such a black and white because the creative team of Magic Mike is so loving and so kind and so sweet. Like I thought it was a cult at first. I was like, I can't become Scientologist. Oh no. But they're just really that loving. Like Channing's just really like, I'm a hugger. And you're like, I'm a kisser. You know, it's just, it really is. Yeah. And so that's immediately what I thought, you know, because in entertainment, we always celebrate the highs. We always celebrate like, I got this job and I did this. Mm-hmm. But the reality is so much of it is
a lot of loss and a lot of rejection and a lot of feeling worthless, a lot of feeling not good enough. And so that's my turning lemons to lemonade, is that, you know, you kind of just keep trucking. And then sometimes you really kind of see the full circle moment.
Well, you could have let that be, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm going to go back to waitressing, or I'm going to go back to Tennessee, or I'm not going to stay here. I can't do this anymore. Because a lot of times that is what happens when you feel shame or humiliation, is you want to run and hide. Yeah. But instead of doing that, you decided to stick with it and realize that that's not what it had to be.
The feeling of like losing something or having lost something, and that fear of not knowing what's going to happen or what's next, can be so overwhelming to us that we aren't even open in our minds to the possibility that there's something more amazing right around the corner, and the universe has this plan that's like, just wait, girl, just like wait right around the corner. And sometimes it doesn't happen right away, but sometimes it happens down the road and you can't see it until you look back and you think, oh, if that and that and that hadn't happened, then I wouldn't be here today. And you have so much gratitude for that. So I love that story. Yeah. I think that's fantastic.
Thanks. Yeah. And it is. It's a nice reminder that like rejection sometimes can be opportunity.
Yes. Yes, we actually just interviewed an author who wrote a book called Thank You for Rejecting Me. We both just read her book. Her name's Kate Warman, and she wrote an entire book about how rejection affects every different aspect of our life. It's not just in dating, or it can be in jobs or whatever, and how we can look at that in a different way. And it was really powerful to read. And that's kind of like your story as well, Chelsea, is just having to like dig deep and say like, I'm not going to let this get me down. And you put yourself out there again, and now look at what happened. It's just,
yeah,
I love that. Like I feel like you're that should be required listening as well, like you said, with the side hustle is required listening for anybody in entertainment. Like hearing your story about that is as well, because that is another thing that I don't think a lot of people know how to deal with when it happens,
right?
Yeah. When it happens to them, calming feeling.
And I think a lot of people don't want to talk about it. I mean, literally in the 5 minutes before we started recording, I was like, maybe I shouldn't tell that story, because it is so painful. Like, you know, our jobs as performers aren't just our jobs, they're our identity. And so like, especially the last year or like losing a job, it feels like your identity is taken away. And so then you suddenly feel so lost.
You can. And I'm glad that you did share. Thank you for doing that and deciding to do that. No, and we want to hear from you too, Sarah.
Oh, I just brought the microphone up to my face.
Oh,
I was just going to say, in any form, I was listening to that interview with Miss Warman on rejection, and it's so true. It's so great.
So good.
Because I would say in this last year, because I said to Chelsea, I was like being kind of like cute about it, but it's actually true that my Lemons to Lemonades was this podcast that we you know, I had a moment. So I had been assisting the choreographer for the entire final season of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and it was really interesting because I wasn't in a position of authority, essentially. And you know, if you're not the actor, then you're nobody. You know, it was interesting to be around that environment and to also watch them going through the loss of their show. They had been doing the show for five seasons? I can't remember. But they had been doing it long enough that, you know, it was a show closing, and a lot of them were theater people. So there's that feeling of like, oh, I'm glad it's over. I can't wait to go back to New York, on the one hand, you know, but that's also, you know, part of your external like shell of trying to be protective of yourself, right? So, and I had kind of run to that job because I had done a job out here that didn't make me feel good about myself at all. And then I ran to that job, and that job didn't make me feel good about myself at all. And so I had made this decision that I was like, you know what? I always get in my head when Jersey Boys closed, I was like, do I stay in Las Vegas? Because what happens? Do I become somebody who just like stayed in Las Vegas and I never work again? Or do I move to LA, or do I move back to New York, or what do I do? And my husband had started working with Penn & Teller, and he really didn't want to move. So I had I finally made a conscious decision that I was like, I'm going to stay in Las Vegas. And the only way that I'm in Las Vegas happy is when I'm working. And I want a show. I want to do another show. And I want to be working at night. And I'm putting that in the universe. And I'm writing it on my vision boards. And I'm saying to, you know, I want to be an absinthe. I want to be the penny roll in absinthe, right? And then a friend of mine was in, so, you know, and I want to be Chelsea's cover in Magic Mike. Like, those are my two shows that I want to do, right? Like, these are like out there. And I mostly just like want to cover her so that I can be backstage with her and be silly and watch her do the show. If you haven't seen Magic Mike, please go see it. She's amazing. So,
and be near Channing Tatum. I mean,
also because I want to get a hug from Channing. Okay. Let's be real. So I had put these on the vision board, and a friend of mine, Dan Sullivan, who had done Jersey Boys with us, had been in at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and was like, hey, I just saw this show called the Atomic Saloon Show, and it's going to Las Vegas. And the lead in it is fantastic, but I couldn't help but think of you. I don't know if this person is going to go with it, but you should be playing this part. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was friendly with the resident director for the show. So I reached out, just like Chelsea was saying, she reached out to base. I reached out, I took a leap and I said, hey, I don't know anything, but a friend of mine said I'd be really right for this. And so I don't know if you're looking for covers, if she's coming here or what the deal is, but I would love to audition if the opportunity presents itself. And sure enough, she was like, actually, you would be great for this. That's a great idea. We are coming out there. Petra is coming with the show, blah, blah, blah. But I'd love to have you, once we get it up and running, I'd love to have you come in. So I go to see the show, and the woman who's playing this part is incredible. She's amazing. She's all over the stage. She's climbing a pole. She's sliding down a pole. She's hosting. She's crazy. She's funny. I love it. And I was like, oh my God, this is what I want to do. This is the perfect part for me. And so I get hired and I get to do it and I'm playing it. And then Petra she's from the UK. She has been asked to go to London for 8 months and they're asking me to take over the show for 8 months. So I was like, this is it. This is what I put out there. And then COVID, right? So now I can't take over the show. The show goes away. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's a real bummer. And when Chelsea and I finally decided to just do this, it was that moment that we were able to literally make lemonade out of lemons and say, I can be in charge of what's happening in my world. I don't have to be upset that something is gone, because it may come back and it may be different, but I also don't have to be at its mercy. I can create something that I am proud of, and who knows where it can go, but we can only do what we can do today. And so that kind of... and then the year, for me, the year got crazy. You know, as my husband said, like, without COVID, we had a really crazy year. Like, I lost my dad, not even to COVID, but just there were so many things that kept happening for us. And this podcast was a constant. And it was so fun to have something to do and somebody who I love to do it with. And then we started to say, like, hey, what if we did a live show? And again, it was us just being like, let's do something more for ourselves. Let's, like, even though it's more work, it's still more fun. And we can be put this idea into motion for other things, that we are creating our own content that we are proud of. So that's my lemons.
I love that you took that on. You took on your show as self-care. Like, that's yes. That's what it is. It's like, I have to do this thing that I love and I need to do more of it. And I'm going to do more of it because this is what makes me feel good. And I think that's a really great and important message to put out there to people too, that you can create something for yourself that you can control, you know, to whatever degree you can. Yes. When things seem to be going crazy in chaos, there are things that we can still do for ourselves that make us feel good, that give us a sense of peace.
Yes. I think there's that episode that we put out in December, Dr. Hilliard, who talked about the thing we talked about when we met with you before, big T, little T. We talked about this on your podcast. And so I'll say it for the listeners again, there's big trauma and there's little trauma. And I think there were so many collective losses, but not only that, little ones along the way. And it sounds like, Sarah, there was a lot happening for you, not only professionally, but personally. And these losses just compound, mm-hmm. you know, so to kind of be able to look at that and process it and channel it into something beautiful and amazing and fun and uplifting is so special, and we benefit, and everyone who listens benefits. So thank you for sharing that, really and truly. And we love, you know, getting vulnerable with friends as well as laughing with friends. And we've done that today wholeheartedly, both of those things. So thank you so much, both of you, for sharing.
Oh my God. Thank you for letting us have
the
space to share.
I kind of wanted to cry. It felt like so cathartic, like listening to you talk. I was like, it just feels good in my body right now. And I was like, keep it together, Chelsea. And I was like, I don't know.
They make them.
Oh, yes. We always do. Like, I have a little tear listening to everybody's stories because it's a lot to put it out there. And we're like talking through screens, but I still feel this sense of this beauty hearing everybody's human story. So I'm with you, Chelsea. I cry many times that I've had to edit out like full bawling. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm just going to edit that out. We'll just, you know.
I always say crying is like my go-to emotion. Like, I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm sad. I cry when I'm mad. I like just.
Yeah. It's just always a tear in the eye.
My body is like, you should cry now. And I'm like, no, body, stop it. You're at Trader Joe's. You're making it weird. And I was like,
no, I told Heidi this the other day. I cried singing along to Vogue while I was in the shower the other day.
Oh, I love that so much. What was it that got you?
Yeah. Let your body move to
the
music.
You know what? It was at the end of the breakdown of the bridge. Like, I was getting to the end of the bridge.
They had styled
it. Don't just stand there. Fully soaping her head. Like, I was just like, yes, just, it doesn't matter if you're black or white, if you're a boy or a girl. Like, it doesn't matter. It is time to get juicy, okay? We have some questions for you that we're going to ask you. Fast.
Okay. I love these juicy questions. Okay.
I want you to say the first thing that pops into your head. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Would you rather give a lap dance or get a lap dance?
Get a lap dance.
You want to give?
Yeah, because mine aren't comedic in nature.
You would give it, though.
I would give it. You like this? Oh, you like it? Oh.
All right, let's see it, ladies, right now. Go.
Oh, you like this? Yeah, this is my booty doing circles on you. Oh, yeah. Somewhere over this rainbow.
Back to Dorothy reference, always going back.
I was making it rain invisible dollars behind you.
She was making it rain.
Show tunes or boy bands?
Oh, show tunes.
Favorite sitcom growing up?
I mean, where do I start?
Cosby Show and Full House. I don't know. That's hard.
TJF lineup. Straight up. The whole thing.
Oh, my gosh. We talked about that.
Family Matters.
Yeah.
Perfect Strangers. Full House.
TJF.
Come on.
That was on for a while.
Yeah.
Would you rather do a flash mob during an intimate business meeting or sing Let It Go at 9 a.m. at a kid's birthday party?
We've done both.
Yeah, I've definitely done both. I like solidarity, though. Yeah. Flash mob, you're like, we're all in this together.
Yeah,
Jazz
flash
Claire.
Mob.
Totally, yeah. Totally.
And Leslie, whose side hustle are you dying to hear? Who's your dream guest?
Oh, well, Channing. We're going to have Channing on, right?
We talk a lot about having old Chan on the old PCast.
Yeah.
But he made his side hustle
into a movie.
Into an empire.
An empire. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I guess we know it.
Well, on.
Because you know who really was a stripper?
Oh, my God. Yes. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear that.
All right. That's one more reason to subscribe. You're going to get to hear.
Yes! See the Channing. You did it.
We didn't really do it.
We want to make sure everybody out there is listening that you subscribe to the Side Hustle podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. And keep up with the ladies on Instagram at the Side Hustle Pod. Chelsea and Sarah, we've had the best time with you today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, ladies.
Woo! Thank you. We love you guys. It was our pleasure.
So fun, you guys. Thank you.
There is nothing that Nicole and I love more than a tasty drink, especially something you can have on the go. But what about a drink that keeps you hydrated and gives you vitamins and minerals?
We are talking about Liquid IV. Get ready to have your dehydrated minds blown. Liquid IV uses a hydration multiplier technology designed to enhance rapid absorption of water and other nutrients into your bloodstream.
I think I just blacked out from amazingness from what Liquid IV does. That was incredible. Yes. I love this technology. It's so delicious. And we found out about Liquid IV a few years back.
Yeah,
and we were thrilled.
Faithful. Yes. drinkers.
Yes.
Of the packets.
We bought the Liquid IV packets that you can add to water anywhere on the go. It is so freaking fantastic.
All of the flavors are so delicious and have other specific formulas to help with your immune system, sleep, energy. We were just talking about it. What's your favorite, Heidi? You were just telling me. What was your favorite?
Oh my gosh. I just tried the passion fruit. I think it's my new favorite right now. I love it. It's so delicious.
Yes, that one is good. I have two. I love the strawberry and the immune defense, which I think is a tangerine flavor. That one is also amazing. Mm. They have a brand new one that I do want to try as well, pear.
Oh yeah, that's right. We have to try the pear flavor.
I think it's limited edition, so we need to get on that quickly.
Well, we are going to, because we have a code. We're going to get a discount so we can try pear.
Yes.
We couldn't be more obsessed. Head over to liquid-iv.com and use our code HYDRATION30 to get 30% off your order. That's a fabulous offer.
30%.
Yeah.
What?
That's record breaking.
That's code HYDRATION30 at checkout when you visit liquid-iv.com. Go do it. It's easy peasy.
Lemon squeezy.
We have saved the zest for last. This is where we talk about some of the things we are obsessed with.
Yes.
And I have one. I was sitting on the couch last night and I said, I just cannot not talk about this. Like, everybody needs to know. I haven't even told you about it, and I know.
Love when you bring something to the table that's a surprise. I'm ready for this.
It's a surprise, and I know you're going to love it. Okay, this is food. Again, I'm always the one talking about a snack.
Give us a snack suggestion.
Here's your snack. I was in Target yesterday, and it was actually a tiny Target. I'd never been to this Target before. It was the size of a CVS. I almost turned around and walked out because I thought, what's the point in being in a Target if it's not like
give me a super Target.
So, but I'm glad I stuck it out. I actually did a pass down the like the chip aisle, and there was a green shiny bag of Smart Food on the shelf, and it caught my eye, and I was like, what?
Oh my gosh.
The flavor? Okay, Smart Food, for any of you that have never had Smart Food, it's a popcorn. Okay?
It's like our favorite white cheddar popcorn.
It's like a
popcorn.
Great cheddar popcorn.
Okay. You see it in any gas station, the black bag.
But here is what's going to blow your mind. It was Smart Food Krispy Kreme Original Glazed Donut flavor.
I saw this!
You did?
I saw it at Ralph's.
You didn't buy it?
I didn't buy it!
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. Like, honestly, now that you're saying this, I'm like, what is wrong with me? How did I see it and not buy it? It's like, when you just said it, it reminded me that I saw it, but I was in a hurry. I don't remember what I was doing. I had a goal. I was like, I'm here to get this, and then I'm out, and I can't believe I walked by it.
Oh, my God. It stopped me dead in my tracks. I went, and I got a cart, came back.
Loaded your whole cart.
Put it in. Wait, and I'm just...
You went back and got a car.
Yes! Like I said, I was not committed to this Target run because...
Oh my gosh, it pulled you in.
It was so small. And then I thought, okay, well, now I'm going to buy this, so I might as well...
You saw the Smart Food and you committed to Target.
Yeah. Went back, got the cart, came back, got the Smart Food.
Oh my gosh.
I immediately, when I got in the car, I put a little hand sanitizer in my hands, ripped the bag right open, dove in.
Okay, what's the first reaction? Give us the review.
It's incredible. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
I ate it from door to door. Like it was,
you ate, I ate. It was gone by the time you got home.
A whole drive. It is a familiar taste. You'll think to yourself, this tastes like something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's because it's crunchy, so you don't really feel that like liquefied melt in your mouth sensation that you get from a Krispy Kreme Original Glazed.
Right.
Because it's a crunch, right?
Yeah.
This tastes almost like a Rice Krispie treat.
Oh.
It's like a little baby tiny Rice Krispie treat.
Little baby Rice Krispie treat. So it's got crunch. You probably got the sweet and salty going on, which...
It's not salty.
It's not?
No. And see, this is why I'm not a sweet popcorn person. That's why I was kind of skeptical because I know kettle corn is like a huge thing.
Yeah.
Everybody loves it. It's that sweet and salty.
I love the sweet
and salty. I'm not like a huge kettle corn person. But this is just, it's all sweet.
All sweet.
All sweet.
How would you compare it to a caramel corn?
Better.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yes. Wow. I just need everyone to go out and find this popcorn. Heidi, you've seen it. You know where it is. I'm counting on you.
I gotta go. I gotta go now.
You do need
to go now.
I'm
walking over to Ralph's. So Krispy Kreme plus smart food. Yeah. I think this is...
It's the smartest food that's ever been made.
This is a collaboration for the ages. I can't wait to go try it. I'm going to go do it today.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited. You better text me.
I'm going to text you. I'm going to text you a video of me crunching on this corn.
Love
I can't wait. Oh, well, thank you for sharing this with us today. What great news.
Oh, my pleasure. And today, to send you off with the good feels, here is our seed for the soul in honor of our friends, Sarah and Chelsea from The Side Hustle. The dream is free. The hustle is sold separately.
Oh!
Anonymous.
Thank you.
Yes.
I love that so much.
Get out there and hustle.
Get your hustle and get your popcorn. Go watch Friends.
Bye.
And thank you all so much for stopping by the Pink Lemonade Stand. We will be here every single Monday.
We would love it if you would squeeze that subscribe button, leave us a 5-star review, and follow us on Instagram at the PLS Podcast for more sweet treats throughout the week.
Now remember, when you're feeling like an old bitter rind, remind yourself you are a gorgeous,
delightful,
fabulous glass of pink lemonade.
Now go out there and squeeze
the day.
Pink lemonade stand.